Right, welcome back, everybody. Possibly to the spinner rack, to part two of our recap episodes for the season four of the Marvel New Universe Comics podcast, where we were talking about all the other half of the series that were ongoing, DP7 and the Star Brand. Issues 19 to 25 DP7, 13 to 16 of Star Brand, and then we'll throw in the one shot that came out, The Draft, as well as give you a little idea of one of the additions we had this season, backup stories. So a
We
lot of
should get
fun
to the
going on.
backup stories by part six of the recap episode, probably.
You can either fast forward or just go straight to the third episode that's likely to drop someday. It's a lot to cover, certainly with DP7, which the intro times. Well, I was going to describe this episode as it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It is a lot of ups and downs in these series and what was going on inside them. So,
So you're saying best of times, DP7, worst of times, the comic we are covering after DP7?
that was probably my inspiration. Yeah.
Okay.
Although there was, let's see. DP7had some intro text we used. In the wake of the White Event, seven random people with paranormal powers found themselves seeking help at the clinic. Now, in the wake of the pit, can they use their powers for the Army and or CIA? So we left off last season right after the pit. The DP7 sort of squad. We had lost a couple of them because Blur had run off to the pit. Several of the others went to follow him, Randy and Dave, and then a Lenore, Charlie, and then we had a couple of additions, Miriam Sorensen and George the Mutator.
Oh, yeah.
So all of them had rushed off. And we picked up in 19 inside the pit mostly and right around it where I guess that was right after the cliffhanger. They were trying to get out of the pit during a lot of that first issue. Dave and the others had fallen over the edge, and while a couple of them have flight related powers, like Charlie could stick to the wall, but Randy's antibodies couldn't fly, but they can only carry about as much as he can. So they can c could carry a couple of people up, but not
Not
like
poor
Dave.
Dave.
Poor Dave. He could like punch the wall and hang there for a while, but they, you know, they go out and look for help. They run into our first sighting of Codename Spitfire, which in this case was Jenny Swenson. So this a little before the brouhaha with Psi-Force.
Wait,
And
possibly the very last time we see her in the suit?
I believe it is, yeah. It was at least we had like one more chance for her to be like, you know, take off the helmet and be like, didn't expect to see a woman in here, did you? Huh? I don't know why I love that panel, but okay.
Solid.
Yeah, the team manages to get back to Dave. Dave manages to find Jeff, and so everyone was successfully extracted from the pit. After that, they spend an issue more like trying to survive, even though they'd gotten out, they were not getting anywhere. They're all kind of stuck on foot, and then they are attacked by a gang of looters led by Pip. Pitbull, the very colorful character, Sabretooth, as you like to say,
Yeah, that
and
was the
a
one that had that great panel where Randy was like huddled with all of the women, like all under one blanket. And they're all thinking about, either him or somebody else.
I think, yeah, Lenora was a little like, oh, this is,
This makes me uncomfortable.
I'm not too into this. But yeah, George Mutator. Yeah, so Pitbull was an we were introduced to as like a complete wild man, even like leading a gang of looters. But big fight between him and Dave Landers, and is that where we ended up, like everyone captured by the army, or most everyone?
Half of them, yeah.
Half of
So
them,
like
yeah.
they'd split up and like one squad was kind of out there, but that's where Dave and Randy got captured.
That's right. Yeah.
And Jenny. Or
So,
no,
yeah,
Miriam.
the f mostly female characters had gone off in one group and the mostly male characters in another. And then, yeah, that split kind of stayed for a while. We had the issue where we were switching back and forth to what was going on back at the clinic. And what was going on back at the clinic was Death of the Clinic.
Yeah.
It's a big, I don't even know how to explain it. It's a little like Waco meets I don't know. They get some disgruntled ex-employees like get the cops like to go nosing around the clinic, and unfortunately several of the paranormals there are pretty trigger happy and slightly racist, so
Yeah.
this ended up with a riot. Several it sounded like several cops were killed and at least four paranormals, of which I think we only got one identified eventually. But so clinic is as like a headquarters for DP7 seems to have been lost.
Most definitely.
Meanwhile, the male members of DP7 were getting talked to by the army. Is that where we started seeing Jack Magnacondi again?
Yep, that was in 21.
Right. So yeah, they are not very voluntarily enlisted in the U.S. Army's paranormal platoon that he that our old friend Kickers Inc.'s Jack Magnaconti was putting together. So at this point, yeah, I didn't. We've got Spitfire, Jenny Swenson. We start seeing Jack Magnaconti in the army parts. And we also have Keith Remsen Night Mask in
Yep.
from his own book. So all of these characters they've appeared in a couple of the other books, but they seem to have like gravitated a bit towards DP7. So we continue for another issue or two with the male members in the boot camp that several of the books looked at in Georgia, the paranormal boot camp that was covered in Psi-Force and the Draft. And in at least one issue of that, they literally retell the story of the draft, but from a different point of view. So while their characters are talking and doing stuff, you sort of see the drafts events played out in the background. So,
Which is great if you haven't read the draft, I guess.
how necessary was the draft, you may ask?
We'll save that for later.
Please don't ask. So, if we hadn't had enough crossovers yet, now comes Psi-Force. The Psi-Force members come in to break out one of their members out of that boot camp. So by 23, we've got Psi-Force coming in. And we find out what's going on with the female members who had mostly been shanghaied by the CIA. And as you'll recall, Jenny Swenson herself was also involved with the CIA. So she starts getting coming back. Although at first, we're not quite sure what the situation is with her because they start in with the dangers of contacting the pit and alluding to an idea that she has been contaminated by something that she was exposed to there.
The juice.
The juice. We had also Stephanie Harrington had left the clinic a couple of issues before that and was back home in Wisconsin with her husband Chuck. Happily ever after until the DD teens arrived. So yeah, the DD teens had escaped the clinic without bothering to warn them or anything, but okay. I'm told that's very normative behavior for a group of teenagers.
Definitely making a lot of noise, getting yelled at by the parents.
There you go. So yeah, they had gone to crash with Stephanie. Stephanie's husband was getting tired of having a paranormal riot in the basement all the time. So we had a issue that was so jammed packed. It was literally three stories going, like dividing it up very like beginning, middle, and end. And with one of them being then Stephanie getting drafted by either the CIA or the Army. Because of Dave's reluctance to get Stephanie involved in this, he ended up in punishment. The punishment was solitary confinement at the pit, and he started going nuts after a while, and let's say hallucinating. Night Mask investigated but was completely oblivious to this, and we ended up with basically a suicide attempt from Dave Landers. A little I'm not quite sure if there's more to the story that we just didn't understand from that because he started hallucinating like dark visions of himself and stuff.
Which made us really confused on the cover, where it had like the weird Grim Reaper version of him.
Yeah. Night Mask in investigating Dave's mental block had somehow teleported himself into the house of the ES people. So we had a nice little crossover with them at some point. And we finish up in 25, issue 25 with Randy in his medical training being confronted, well, investigating the Famalich, which was this family that had been rescued from the pit, but as it turned out, was contaminated by this pit juice. Nice battle between his antibodies and this blob, basically. And we also cut back and forth to the DD teens, who seemed pretty banged up in a car accident. So we didn't get much of a resolution on most of those characters. So where that goes is anyone's guess. So I've covered through the 40-minute mark yet. So,
It's been 3 days since you started.
oh my gosh, the in broad strokes, yeah, DP7. I remember Mark Gruenwald saying in some early interview that this was, it was always his intention to like break every convention of a group comic. You know, the group always has to stay together. They never stay together. The group always has to put, you know, something else first. They do not do that at all. They're very like interested in their own survival. So the headquarters has to stay. Nope, we blow that up. There's always a lot going on. And the cast is like ever expanding. It's by this point, it's really impressive, honestly.
Right.
It's the only word I have for it. It keeps like building and building. It's like a house of cards, but one that's like inverted. So you start with a couple of things and then it's going up like 10 layers and it's somehow still all hanging together. It is, I would say, reason enough for the creation of the new universe that you have this very fun comic, which bends or defies a lot of conventions in comics without being kind of pretentious about it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And it is always fun to read, and we never quite know where it's headed next. So it's not really much more I can, I could keep piling on the compliments, but if I don't say it clearly enough, I think we both really enjoy this book. So.
Right, for sure. And it's really probably taken on the role of kind of like that guiding book of the new universe too, whereas like Justice is kind of doing his own thing and like Psi-Force is kind of struggling. I mean, not the comic, but the characters. But yeah, in terms of actually like following up on the pit and following up on the draft and including previous characters, like it's looking like Jenny Swenson by the end of this is going to become a regular character, if not coated in some sort of weird metal. But yeah, like
We
Night
can't get
Mask
them
has shown
all,
up
I
a
guess.
ton. Even Jack Magnaconti, they've just totally ignored the existence of Mark Hazard Merc as a book, I guess, but everything else shows up somewhere.
Yeah, if I mean, we always thought of the Star brand in the first year plus as the flagship book, the one where, the other events of the universe kind of pivot around it. But, it's still at real time and coming out bi-monthly. So you see really how little news you get out of Star Brand. It's been a few months, and yeah, the even though, something will pop up and they'll do some major thing. You see much more of like an expanded universe with sort of day-to-day life being lived in DP7. And the way you kind of absorb the books that were canceled is also impressive. Yeah. So we'll throw in a little bit more about that later, but it is it's been a few months since we saw most of those characters, and it is great to have a place to, at least keep them visible without, so
Right.
we interact with them.
Yeah, I would say like if whatever book brings back any of the other kickers, like we'll win major points with me. Like we'll see if that happens by the time the new universe ends. And then like second best would be if any of the troubleshooters shows up. So I'm not holding my breath, but that would be pretty fun if it happened. But yeah, it's just a great book, right? I wonder how well it holds up on its own, I guess, right? Like if you just read this, none of the other tie-ins, none of the other new universe, right? Is it still just as good, or is it really benefit a lot from all the stuff going on around it? Like I guess DP7 doesn't interact with Justice a whole lot,
Has not yet, yeah.
but maybe it will.
Yeah, the Starbrand, no. Am I missing
I'm just
there?
having the ES people show up back up again, like there's and like a lot of tie-ins to like backup story stuff, like the family blob thing, right?
Yeah, I remember, I think when I first read DP7, like I had started it late, like a months in, or maybe a year even in, and I was like resistant to go back and get like the initial issues, and found it somewhat frustrating, in terms of, yeah, like how much builds over time. And so without sort of seeing the start of it, it wasn't as strong to me.
Right.
But yeah, it is, that is actually one of my biggest questions about the whole the new universe project was the, if you just read one title, you miss out on so much of what's going on. And as these things start getting woven into the book, it probably the frustration level would rise. I don't know.
Yeah, I think when I read it first, I had the whole run, but I don't think I ever finished it. Like, I didn't read through all the way through. And maybe as they start throwing in all these characters from other series, maybe that's just.
Jack Magna, who? Am I supposed to care about this guy? What?
Yeah. Night Mask.
It's
The
let's
army's
see.
biggest screw up.
So let's see. What were their problems? Looking back, I found there were fewer resolutions to things that most books would definitely have resolved at one point. There was a guy in a coma. We never saw him come out or whatever happened to him. The two murderers who escaped a few issues ago. The only person that was going to track them down was herself killed after that.
Right.
So, okay.
I have
That's
a
a
feeling that those characters will show up, but I don't know that. Like, it just seems like it will, just based on how Gruenwald seems to tie everything back together, at least a little bit, or at least some mention of them. But like, if the DD teens car crash is like it, and that's never followed up on, really, that would be frustrating. Not knowing.
Scuzz, you're back. Yes, I am. Don't ask me where I've been.
It's got an eye
Okay,
patch and like a robot
arm. I
That'd be
mean,
a little Marvel universe even.
there may be a bit of
Yeah.
we want to bring these back someday, and we never got the chance to. So I can only hope. Some of them will pop up again, but the events may overtake the book at some point, so some point soon. So where was it going? Just sort of all over the place, every direction. And
Well, obviously, I mean, from the season, we looked at, kind of the response to the pit, which led directly into the draft, right? So while they were kind of living their happy lives until the pit came along, which Blur's parents and family all got killed, which caused them all to go there, which caused them all to get captured, which caused them all to get drafted, right? So presumably then that kind of leads to the next steps. But yeah, that's for this season's worth of books, at least, it's all big event responses. They just happen to do such a good job of tying in all of their own stories to it that, we might lose that a little bit.
I think we'd mentioned last time there's a lot of mini arcs, three issues or so. And so yeah, the three or four issues at the pit, three or four issues sort of the draft with the boot camp and what have you. So unfortunately, without another prestige thing coming out right now, I don't know where that leaves us going forward from here, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, they certainly mentioned the Voight was coming back, right?
Oh,
So
that's right. We got a hint from the.
he's maybe getting elected president, which could then be the next major story point, but also
Democrat or
DP
elected
seven. So
president?
they're probably going to have like two or three other major plot lines going on at the same time. So I would guess some of them have to deal with the new president, but maybe the rest don't. I don't know.
That's true. It could cover a lot of other options as well without, yeah, just straight switching back and forth through a couple of plot lines would keep them pretty busy. Yeah, the Voight was running, was I believe the won the primary in the Democratic ticket in
That's right.
1988 was what we were told. So
I'm guessing
I
it's not going to just be like, oh, well, he lost the election, so we've never heard from him again. That seems unlikely.
lose against oh, who was it?
George Bush, yeah.
George Walker Bush. Well, I guess anything could happen. It's not really the world outside my window, but it's the once we once yeah Reagan was apparent became a paranormal. I guess he wasn't on track to go for a third term, but if it was a paranormal versus paranormal election, and you know, like Kang versus Kodos, I promise to use my shape-changing abilities only for good and the good of this country that
Yeah.
I love so much. Well, I promise to only use my mind control abilities and overshadow techniques to make America, you know, the best it can be. City on the hill.
Yeah.
Okay. It's weird how I yeah, it's a lot going on, but DP7 is definitely, I would say, our highest recommendations. So I'd mentioned last time that around this time we had Marvel Age Annual number 4 come out with a few creator interviews and such. So there's a couple of hints in there. Let me unveil the mists of time, if I will.
I'll plug my ears and make noises.
Perfect. The DP7, we have a touch bit from Gruenwald, and there's actually a nice illustration here that I don't recognize from a cover of anything, so I don't know if we'll see it somewhere nicely, but DP7 really haven't been seven guys for a while, and certainly not the original seven, Mark Gruenwald chuckled. They've broken up into little splinter groups. Blur will still be in the army. He'll be do that for the foreseeable future all by himself. Randy and Dave will be in the army, but thinking about getting out by that time. In number 25, which we just talked about a couple weeks ago now, Antibody meets the Shadow Man, the renegade antibody who killed a kid named Evan. What?
That's not right.
Yeah, neither one will walk away the same. That jumped out at me because was that like either Gruenwald like you know making a confusing something, or was that the original plan was to have Shadow Man literally kill that kid? Yikes.
Randy was right all along. All
Yeah,
along
that's
for
the
the
thing. I,
kill.
like Randy was always like, "Oh, he's the killer. How you doing, killer? Killed anyone today, killer?"
Like maybe like the DD teens were gonna let Shadow Man drive the car because he's looks
Maybe
oldest.
Grunewald was like, "I could kill one kid, but I bet I could kill like five or six at a time. That'd be even better."
Sheesh.
He continues, Lenore, Charlene, and Stephanie are working for the CIA as special operatives. They are not drafted since women still aren't drafted. They join forces with Jenny Swimson, the former Spitfire, who is Spitfire no longer. Jenny's strange transformation. So the four of them, plus Sponge, who took Stephanie's place in the group for a while, form a five-woman commando team, we'll see in number 26. Scuzz is still the leader of his own group of paranormal teenagers called the DD Teens. Mark didn't say exactly what happens to Scuzz. Nor could he say much more about future events in general, but he did let it slip that the general direction is New York. The various storylines will start converging again after this wild separation ends, and it'll be around New York, which will be one of the most uninhabitable cities in the world.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, that's kind of all the, some of that we already know, and some of that was sort of already predictable. So no major spoilers, thankfully.
Yeah. I always, you know, we go through such great lengths to avoid our spoiling ourselves, but
never
then if
works.
it's in Marvel Age, it's perfectly legitimate. So
coming close to unfollowing the Facebook fan page because I keep reading spoilers on accident.
Look, we love you guys, but you know, we'll like stop posting until maybe next spring or something, when we're like done, read everything, chewed it all over, and are free to speak about it again.
Yeah, it says.
Let's see.
All right, time to transition to Starbrand. We're gonna have to do it at some point.
Okay. We That's just
Just a couple issues. So it was bi-monthly, so we covered 13 through 16. Some of them even had Ken Connell in it, right? So yay. Or boo.
Kevin Connell in name only.
Did you say Kevin Connell?
I screwed that up too. Okay.
I think that was the character in the modern Marvel one. They made him Kevin Connell or something.
Oh. Well, there goes my plan to have Kevin Connell the star tattoo or whatever it was going to be.
It'll just be Kev.
Kickstarter coming soon, 2025. Keep your ears open, folks.
All right. Well, Ken Connell, the original bearer of the Star Brand, becomes defocused as the story moves into other people who take up the mantle of the most powerful weapon in the universe. See also Star Baby.
Defocused is a nice word for what they did to Ken Connell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in previous issues, like Ken kind of like the old man comes back, things get retconned, they kill a convention's worth of people, and then Ken causes the pit disaster, which Duck survives, having left town to meet her really exciting and awesome and interesting friends, Roger and Jane, only to be then killed in the next issue. So issue 13, Duck is pregnant. She's with Roger and Jane, like presumably, you know, going back to, they were going to go back to Pittsburgh. But then the baby comes out in an unnatural way and kills Duck. And I don't really want to think about that issue too much anymore, but it happened. Anyway.
Someone named Madeline Phoenix was killed.
Oh, right. Yeah. The renaming. But yeah, so yeah. Roger and Jane end up, you know, near the pit basically, and get kind of captured by the army, where they stayed for a little while. That's where we also get the Star Baby. So born a baby, you know, giant floating head with Trump hair. It's kind of this era. And the cover of 14 is probably like the most perfect example of the crazy Trump hair. But yeah, like 14 is where like Roger gets killed and, you know, eventually brought back to life. Ken turns is a crazy rapist for some reason. And that's the Hobson's Choice episode issue, right? So you can't take my
Is it
power.
me? I went to a liberal arts school. I thought I knew all kinds of like literary allusions, but I guess I'm
Wait,
not that good.
There's only one Hobson's Choice. So Ken survives there. Issue 15, you know, we have like the pit is kind of going wild. So like Roger is Superman, though still kind of whiny and unhappy. The Star Baby fights some sort of giant pit-sized plant monster, and then kills it, and then is sad. I think that's like key issue 15 is like the first appearance of Wilford Brimley in the new universe. Is that right? So,
I think that's correct.
I mean, that's so maybe it's still worth watching or still worth reading. Probably not, but maybe. And that's also where we get Ken riding his motorcycle, and then the ghost of Myron shows up and scares him, and he flies off of a cliff and presumably dies at the end of 15. But, you know, we don't know why. Everything's bonkers.
That was. At that point, it was so over the top. It was pretty funny, honestly.
It was just like, all right, all the Star Baby plants, like, oh my gosh, I value life. I can't believe I accidentally killed this thing. And then it's like two panels of him like flying off a cliff for no reason. Oh. It's so bad, it's bad.
So yeah, Mac is. I like the idea of Mac Browning more than the actuality of what we, but like the idea that there's someone who's kind of, it's either taking point on the country's response to the pit and or sort of overseeing our response to and use of paranormals. But in, let's see.
He's a
So in
little
this
all over the
case,
place though, like, you know, like if in Starbrand he's by the pit, kind of like, you know, guarding it to a degree and
right.
studying it, but then he shows up like in Justice and such, so.
Yeah, and in Psi-Force, he's shows up in the Rodstvow
Right.
aftermath, I guess.
Crying about the Constitution. Quite literally.
I guess we're free to kill whoever we want now. Don't worry, there's nothing holding me back.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's well. I mean, the Starbrand will have big events, and then so that's a good sort of spot for him to be in relation to where big things are going on. Is it like using him well? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you can use him well. Anyway, like last issue of our run was 16, which had the weird Roger superhero fighting a robot cover, which just turned out to be a dream. And
Of course, it's a
then,
dream.
right? And then, like, he ends up losing his, you know, super buffness by the end of the issue anyway. So,
So, yeah, we were guessing he would gain the Star Brand, but he was resurrected by the Star Baby, but not given the Star Brand himself, which would have allowed him to resurrect himself, I guess. But that, yeah. So he not only he still complained that he had like a Schwarzenegger physique and was given his original body back. Okay, there you go.
Oh, I got a six pack now. This is terrible.
These muscles getting in my way. Yeah,
Oh.
our little mini arc with the Roger and Jane Price. Okay.
Why? Why?
Is it like some neighbors of John Burns that he was like, look, if you let me borrow your lawnmower, I'll work you into this comic I'm doing.
Yeah.
We're just a dull couple from Ohio. We don't do anything. Exactly. I'll make it exactly like you. Anyway.
You had to pay them back for the time where he like set fire to the effigy of Jim Shooter on his backyard and probably freaked out all of his neighbors, right? Maybe.
There were sparks coming in for 2 days. What the heck were you burning back there, mister? Yeah.
Well, anyway, in the comic, the
I'll
Star
never
Baby.
stop doing my Roger impression. Don't worry, even if he's never seen
Please
again.
stop doing your Roger impression. I hope we never see Roger again. But yeah, in the comic, the baby eliminates death, and then Roger and Jane tell him that's a bad idea. and then he flies off into space or something to go and find the origin of the Star Brand and perhaps never return. But not before we get some panels of, zombie Ken Connell pretending he's Jim Shooter and Wilford Brimley, the Star Brand, which I guess is where this is going for the next issue, because why not follow up on a terrible idea?
So, yeah, we saw some Shooter interviewing or something that, his idea was to pass the brand around to different people and see how they react to it, what they do different things with it and all that. Limited only by your imagination, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, the
But we
idea
haven't
of
really
that,
seen that yet.
but yeah, we got the baby. Yeah, which is like a Star Trek godlike character that, like, doesn't understand humanity. That's not a great, bold new invention. Roger wasn't much of anything. Wilford Brimley at least is like, oh, is like a, like a DP7. Okay, I'll try something that hasn't been done before instead of, this great in shape guy, having this superpower. We'll give it to like an older, settled guy who, maybe he'll think of it in terms of like how to help people more directly. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the first issue that makes sense.
It is, like I said, very the schedule isn't helping it at all. It
No.
comes out so rarely, and then when it does, it like tries to make an impact by going so over the top that it's off-putting, and you can't like there's barely like a through line in it. And then huge, well,
Yeah.
we'll skip right to like where there was a problem. There's huge like things that are just brought up or and when like glossed over or I mean the Star Baby never got a name. What kind of a
Right.
character never gets a name?
Don't even call it Star Baby in the book.
It's you. You're back.
Yeah.
You. Okay. Yeah, it's
Yeah, it's so random and nothing really seems to be like building on itself either. Like, I mean it there's some stuff with the pit, but
Yeah, I think there's like so yeah, we get this sort of army base that the prices were held at that's a, seems to be right by the pit, and there seems to be like a nuclear winter going on. So we get like months pass by but without interstitial issues, and so it's it's kind of hard to track things as well as you can in the other books. And yeah, you're just like you summarize what happened, and it's like, actually, that wasn't very much at all.
right.
So frustrations like started at medium level, and now are just like through the roof. I don't know.
Right. And I mean, given the fact that there's three issues left, like, can they even follow up on the like what's going on or, what's going to happen with different people having the Star Brand's power? Like, I think we're just maybe gonna have one person.
I think that is, yes. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's about right. I
So.
mean, okay. That'd be about as much space as, this will give us. But if the book was coming out monthly, at least we'd have, the chance of this idea being explored to a degree that we'd at least, see, okay, I see what you were going for there or something,
Right.
whether we were satisfied with it or not. But yeah, too. I feel like yeah, there's like a joke about a restaurant customer. Oh, it was the food was terrible and such small portions. It's like either give us more or give us better, preferably both, but
Something.
either one would be something.
I don't want more, I don't think, but yeah, it's a toss up which issue is worse, 13 or 16, but I think those are the weakest, just in terms of like direction. Like 16 was so random. Like there's a dream and then Wilfred Brimley and
I let me
yeah.
just jump ahead into the annual here, just to give you some, because I this is another thing where something jumped out at me was okay. In 16, we'll be seeing more of the events generated by the creation of the pit, more of the people who've been transmutated by the second white event, said John Byrne. We'll see more of the Star Child and the effects again having on the world. You're going to be coming to some heavy philosophical reassessment about what life's all about because he's new to it.
Yeah, sure. Still waiting on
I have plans for the Star Brand to pass on to at least two other people, probably simultaneously. We have Roger Price, who was introduced in 12. He's recently been rebuilt by the Star Child, so he's getting the power. Star Child will also be passing on the power to an old man, someone we haven't been seen before. And then Star Child is going to go off since you're always left with the power to try to find where the power came from in the first place. More philosophical points. Star Child rebuilt Roger will be dealing with Roger's wife coming to terms with this brand new husband she finds herself with. This isn't the guy I married. Also, what happened to Ken Connell? Is we, I don't
I don't know, that's
know.
all like a weird version of issue 16 though, right? Like all of that is in 16.
It is,
Except
yeah,
for
that's
like
like,
him getting the power, which never, he must have scrapped Roger getting the power.
it's again, I can only wonder if this was like a first draft of like Roger was going to get the power and then, well, I can't think of anything to do with this horrible character. Yeah, that was like, yeah. Fast forward to the end. I don't know. It's a interesting idea if there were, you know, changes in directions that we didn't see behind the scenes. But honestly, they don't sound much better. Yeah, I don't know. We always say that generally, you know, the John Byrne's, you know, very beyond competent craftsman, so it's a frustration is the only word I can use for someone sort of purposefully whiffing on his assignment, you know.
Yeah. Hey, there's room for a good issue in here somewhere, right? Like maybe one of the remaining three will actually be a hit. It's possible. Maybe all the stupid stuff is all gotten out of the way.
It will all make sense at some point. Yeah, I can only imagine a book by John Byrne that would have, you know, tackled these questions or involved us with these characters. That would also, yeah, I mean, if you're just sort of breezing by characters once every couple months and they're take up a very small part of the book. They don't grow on you too fast, I gotta say.
Yeah. Should have just gave Duck the Star Brand power, and Ken was jealous because she d used it better than he did or something, right? Like, so there you go, better
There you
book.
go. There you go. Did you say you had been reading some of Byrne's Fantastic Four run before this?
I've got the full
I saw a
Burntastic
cover.
Four.
I saw a cover for one that jumped out at me. It was like Reed and I think Nathaniel Reed, like man versus old man. I was like, wait a second.
Oh, I see. He's recycling plot points.
Maybe? I don't know. I only know.
Reed's father shows up in there too, as like a kind of sort of villain.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, Reed's father is also related somehow to these other time traveling characters, Immortus and Ramatut and all that, right?
Yeah, I think that what came later, though. I don't know. It's been a little while.
It's,
We'll save that one
yeah.
for the Fantastic Four podcast.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was like, yeah, that looks a little similar. The cover of 16 that we'd made so much fun of, that cyborg robot Cerebrex, reminded me of like a villain from Byrne's Next Men, his independent
Yeah.
thing.
Actually, I mean, we skipped out. We've been doing like what we liked, what we didn't like, where's it going, and then overall thoughts. But maybe that's what I did like, is that robot villain guy looked pretty cool, and he had the brain dome, which I can always appreciate. So that's the high point so far, is the one dream robot character looked neat.
There you go.
Right. So now you try saying something positive about Starbrand. Not that it's bi-monthly, that can't be the positive thing.
It moves quickly. It never has like an extended like pages or anything. So it always feels like it's moving through stuff pretty rapidly. What can I say that's nice? We'll have to
I have to work on that.
see, I don't want to be like negative,
Was a
but
fun moment, like in the election way back when, where they had a debate where like they asked like Hillary Clinton and like Donald Trump to say something that they liked about the other person. I always remember. I thought that was kind of fun. This feels a little bit like that. I'm like, oh, I don't know. The paper quality is fine. This Mando
it's,
paper really sells it.
I it it's there is like more going off kind of around off the page. You sometimes like you, like I say, this like nuclear winter or something, it's not clear to see, but they're, if they come up with, characters talking about it the next issue, you would definitely like, oh yeah, now I see what you're doing with that. Or this, so some of the times, like, even it may not be spelled out for us, which would be, easier for us as a reader if we were sort of speeding along to an explanation at some point. But in general, that's not, I mean, leaving things kind of mysterious is fine for a while. Did I miss?
Shall we move on?
Oh, I'm so stuck for like a really like something like I said, I do. At some point, it just became funny how he sort of mistreats Ken Connell. So, I mean, if you have like a punching bag, but it's like very obvious, it's, it's hard to take it in a bad way. It's just like, oh, here we go again. Don't get grandpa going on that, it's, anyway. So yeah, let's just move on to the draft. Let me recap the draft. The draft was a another prestige format book that came out, to my mind, sort of surprisingly quickly after The Pitch. It's about 2 or 3 months later. And it is a another book that's like not a jumping on point, so it's kind of confusing to us. It is the story of three new paranormals from different walks of life and different parts of the country who all get caught up in this draft. And the US government is openly like restarted the draft. There's foreign powers are claiming responsibility for the Pitt disaster. Everyone thinks that there's paranormal involvement, and so the behind the scenes, there's a lot going on with intelligence agencies trying to get paranormals for themselves. And the US Army takes the most direct approach and is only male characters, but everyone they could find was at least inducted. And then the characters who could sense that each other are paranormal or something were used to screen people and get them into an elite paranormal fighting unit, which I think they were going to
But at
put
least
Jack
that's what they're
Magnacon
trying
to.
to make.
That's what they say. So we followed three new paranormals as they first discover that they have powers. These were probably all people who'd developed these paranormalities in the wake of the Black Event. So after the pit, within those few months, there was another wave of things going on. And these guys had relatively mundane powers. One of them could levitate a hubcap, a specific hubcap, not just any hubcap. One of them could make sort of jungle gyms appear that were possibly indestructible or possibly not. I don't know.
Yeah, weird pipes.
And one of them could explode and teleport. Every place he left would explode. So we've got to be careful with that one. We also are introduced to a drill sergeant in the army. We're reintroduced to a couple of characters from DP7. And we've got a few inductees from DP7 that we covered earlier. So we sort of spend the first half of the book is sort of meeting these new guys and sort of seeing them discover their powers and then get drafted or enlist. And then the second half of the book is this, first half of Full Metal Jacket where they're in boot camp and it becomes a well, one, well, some of them react better to it than others. There's it's not hazing, but one of them is not very adjusting well to the army life, is has a worse and worse time until he finally freaks out and goes AWOL and then tries to assassinate the president, as most draft dodgers are, I guess.
I mean, if you had the opportunity, wouldn't you? I probably shouldn't say that, right? Of course, we would never try to assassinate anyone.
They were very popular back then. I don't know. Everyone loved the presidents we had. I don't know. So let's see. The paranormals, for spending time with them, I'm not sure we got like a great sense of them as characters, but
No, especially the gridlock guy, we got his introduction and then they shaved his head and he looked weird and that's about it, really. I feel like we spent more time with Metallurgist and Blowout, right? It was kind of like the Blowout character's book almost, just because at least he had like an arc, he was
that's
introduced,
true,
got drafted. Got harassed by Pitbull constantly,
yeah.
freaked out and
Pitbull.
left, right? Like an
Yeah,
actual
that
story happened with him.
you're correct, yes. The others were just sort of left in boot camp, and then we saw some, follow up in DP7 and Psi-Force.
Barely.
I mean, we didn't get any more development of them, but they. We were confirmed that they exist in the same
Right.
universe or something. So all that was fine. It just seemed like a lot to do about very little. So it was not a great introduction to the new universe. And yeah, I felt, yeah, you're correct. Blowout did seem to have an arc, but the rest of the book just seemed to be leading. Yeah, it was like all very introductory. And so, okay, where is this going? It didn't
Yeah.
go anywhere. Okay.
It almost would have made more sense if they would just like told the story of how like the existing new universe characters got drafted, and maybe rope in one or two new characters as well. Like, so like show Night Mask and Jenny Swenson, and
Right.
so it has some connection to existing characters besides like Pitbull.
Yeah, Pitbull, an interesting looking guy, but yeah, Keith Remsen. I mean, obviously there was some interesting transition there between sort of on your own researcher to young lieutenant, very eager to serve. I don't know. It's I mean, you just feel like okay. I mean, at best, the art was, I think it was the same penciler but different inkers or something.
Yeah, they jump around a little bit in style.
But that would be fine, except, it was just the writing was also by, yeah, Nicieza and Gruenwald. That should have been fine. I don't know. It just sort of left us meh, I guess.
Right.
So
Just
I don't know.
weird. But also felt about right after the pit, which again, like, here's this massive event and somehow managed to tell a boring story, right? Here's the draft, right? This should be important and we'll learn something useful or interesting about the world going forward in the new universe, or no. And it took forever to get a follow-up on like the presidential assassination too, so at least it felt like forever.
Yeah, it's it does have I was gonna say that the biggest question we came across was whether this was intended to be sort of a more regular ongoing series of prestige format stories, because we know there's the war series mini series coming at the in the future.
Right, but we got hints that it wasn't really necessarily going to be like the end point, right? It could have just been the
Yeah,
next
we're getting,
one, and then we keep going from there, kind of thing. But
yeah, so there's a kind of a question to our minds if this was the idea was we would have a like a quarterly prestige format book coming out and that like characters would be involved in that. And so that's kind of what I'm expecting. We'll see if we get anything when it finally does come, if it looks like or feels like, it matches, oh, I don't know, like 3 months after the draft would be about now, I guess. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to suggest we start reading The War now, so there's not
no.
much more we can do with this, but sort of wait and see. So I'll score this one incomplete in a lot of ways, I guess.
Given an incomplete, yeah.
I know that's you, Professor always says that's a weasel word, but okay.
Well, an incomplete turns to an F unless you do something about it.
Oh, there you go. Let's see. Is there anything else? The draft was very like, since only men are drafted, it he avoided any female characters or their development.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I got about as much to say about it as it gave me, right? It was there. I read it.
So beyond that, let's see. I was going to summarize the previous heroes of individual titles. We had Night Mask, Kicker's Ink, Spitfire in its various permutations, and Mark Hazard, Merc, who unfortunately passed on. Although there were, he had lots of friends who were Mercs, who would also be interesting to see, I guess.
Right. It's a long walk from Afghanistan to Moscow, so Lincoln Griffin could still be working his way over there.
Somewhere in Turkmenistan, there's like one crazy guy who's gotten everyone else in his platoon killed, and they call him the Griffin. So yeah, we saw Night Mask, Keith Remsen. showing up in DP7, Psi-Force, and the draft, and in backup stories. He's gone from, just being a young man, fresh out of high school, I guess, when the ser his series started. So it's a couple of years later. He's maybe 20. He is now a commissioned lieutenant in the army, and using his paranormality to screen inductees that they are mentally competent or something. He feels, at least in one of the books, probably DP7, that kind of morally questionable, because if he says they're okay, then they'll go out and get themselves shot. So, okay. But
Also,
he is
like
also at
the
times a narc. He was ready to like go draft Stephanie, and he would have probably done the same to the ES people once he, like, oh, I heard there's a new paranormal. We haven't gotten into the front lines. So let's go look these up.
He also has a habit of like giving a free pass to anybody who has like horrible, like psychological problems and
Everyone he's
issues.
talked to is horribly damaged, but he still passes them fine. Good job, Sergeant Waltzmerch. Doing fine there, blowout.
Think the only
Everyone's
one he
fine.
actually helped was Blur, like Jeff Walters when he was trying to get over the death of his family. Like Night Mask didn't screw that up, at least.
It's true. He
But
so
of
I don't
course, that
know.
was kind of in DP7, right? So.
I was happy to see Night Mask again. We saw Dr. Ballad in another story with some Psi-Force members, but the rest of his supporting cast is MIA. Nevertheless, without making him the focus of a story, it's good to sort of have him around and sort of expand out the team in a book.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically been everywhere, so.
So yeah, he has definitely gone through a lot of people's heads at this point.
Yeah, Jack Magna Conti was definitely just sort of a tease. Like, he showed up, he's like, all right, guys, and he had his little backup story where he beat up some army guys to prove himself or something. But, he just kind of talked to Randy and Dave a little bit and, gave a pep talk. And then we really haven't seen him since.
Yeah, it's So I would, just from like covers, say that, we might not see him again until the war starts, I guess. That's I don't know. I'm a
He's got a
little
cool new outfit and everything. That's too bad, but.
Yeah, he was talking about being the commander of the Elite Paranormal Force Squad, which sounds great. I don't know, man.
Yeah. And then Aunt Jenny Swenson from Spitfire showed up a bunch of times, especially in DP7, where it seemed like she was going to become a main character before getting horribly mutated by the pit juice, and then maybe. We'll come back as metal plated person.
Yeah, I think she's gone through the biggest change. They definitely, redid her whole model. No more Max armor. Still in the CIA or related to it, but yeah, now a paranormal herself. So yeah, she's mutated into Chrome. I think we get that.
Yeah.
Personally, that's not my, A, it doesn't look very good yet. They haven't sort of figured out how to do a nice looking version of it. But sort of larger, bigger picture. I really, resist the idea that the new universe is the paranormal universe. You know what I mean?
Right. Can't
I
have any
like
normals in it.
genre diversity, having, sort of characters with different, being there, but not just, yeah, having like extra knowledge or build your own weapon or something. that makes you useful enough, you know. Don't feel you need the magic silver suit look. I don't know. That's just me. It's just me. So who were you like happiest to see? Jack Magna
Yeah, easy.
Carney?
I think Night Mask was the most well done, source at times, just because we saw him a lot, though he was kind of a jerk. But yeah, it was nice to see him back. Nice to see Jack. Still waiting for Brick and Dasher and them, but I'm not
That
holding my
is
breath.
also, yeah. All of these characters had nice supporting casts built up,
Yeah,
and
it definitely makes sense that you wouldn't see the supporting cast of a book that's canceled show up, right? Like you can't do everything. Yeah. But
but
I
yeah,
think
your
give
idea
me
of
somebody in the background or something. I don't know.
putting the kickers and the troubleshooters together into Team Trouble Kickers.
Kick shooters?
Kick shooters?
Kickle
Yeah.
shooters?
I like that. I don't know. I guess I have a soft spot for Spitfire. Her like original spicy redhead version was cool. Very like modern girl boss, I guess, but I don't know. It's
Yeah, we
it's
got
fun.
that one solid issue in DP7 where she kind of like shows up, blows up some of the antibodies, rescues Dave, snuggles Randy, right? Like
Yeah, she was,
she was
yeah,
very competent in that.
was doing good. Yeah, Charlie was like, "Oh, this army chick is bossing us around or something."
We kind of redeemed her from the pit, I think, but then she got juiced, which I'm also not excited about that direction, but we'll see.
It is, it's a thing that's we'll see where it goes. So we talked a little about Mac Browning, him as a character, since we got so much of him in the pit. We'd expected him to be a major player in this season. I mean, he was around a lot. Most of the books at least ran into him at some point. So yeah, I don't know. He doesn't seem to be doing a great job containing whatever's going wrong in the pit. There's monsters pouring out of it now. I don't know.
Right. And then he was like, he did the classic, Psyhawk and Rod Devourer fighting, and he attacks the wrong one kind of thing. So.
Yeah, he's not getting on to winning people over quickly, but as I said, there was at least one issue where I thought, just glancing through it, that he had been shot, and I was like horrified at the idea that they would trash the character so quickly. So, I'm hoping we'll be seeing him for a while.
Maximum Browning. Okay, so still a few things to talk about. One of them being the backup stories, which were kind of new for this go around. And we got some pretty wide variety of them, and some comic books had them and some didn't, right? So there was not a backup in every single issue. In Cyforce 20, we were seeing where Jake Travis got the Max armor that ended up being relevant to the story later. In DP721, we got Kickers Inc. Kind of showing up, or at least Jack showing up and kind of joining the army that kind of walked through his trials to get there. We saw the Family Leech, so the only feel good story from the pit, the family that Jenny Swenson survived, all combining into a horrible mutated blob that eats people. followed by the mutator story, which was funny. Which and it was just kind of like a random check-in, which I actually kind of liked. Later we got, the first time the Psi-Force ladies showed up. So Kathy and Stassi found them in the hospital and had a run-in with oh, was it like the spinning paranormal with knives, and Lucian Ballad was there, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that guy ever had a code name, but yeah.
No, it was funny to see Kathy just like slam him and go back to bed, though. So we got to see shrapnel, exploding psychoplasmic pimple man from early DP7, get caught by some border guards. We had a weird one with like President Reagan talking about his new like shape-shifting face and wanting to run for president again. Another weird one where it's just like Potiphar from Medusa Web, who is kind of like the Punisher, I guess, just doing some mercenary work and just basically killing everybody. Then like the Night Mask trio, Night Mask versus ES people, Night Mask versus bikers, and Night Mask versus new evil dream guy that might be important later. So like a pretty wide-ranging pile of backup stories, that's for sure, right? I don't know. Did you have a favorite from that
Yeah.
group, do you think?
I mean, I thought some of them were well done, but didn't really, grab me personally. I don't know. I thought that we started strong. It was great to see Spitfire and Kickers Inc. for what we could,
Yeah.
I if there's one that sort of was unexpected, but I was very happy to see it. It was probably the ES People Night Mask crossover,
Oh,
just because I kind of like those characters, and they had a good chance to do this sort of semi-combat, and so it was, several of them had like a horror element. The Mutator one had a kind of a could have gone very badly feel to it. The Family Leech, of course. And it felt like, are we going to go into this more consistently? It's a horror type story is maybe easier to do a quick just a few pages and like, ah, something scary.
yeah, right.
Yeah, ES People versus Night Mask was maybe, I thought, the most sort of, it was a little more comic booky, maybe. It's
Yeah,
kind
because they
of
were kind of like
fun.
cosplaying as a D&D group to a degree or something, right?
Yeah. So it kind of, the between their gaming and Night Mask thinking he's dreaming and everything, it's just a fun little encounter.
Yeah, there maybe wasn't like a really standout cool one. I did like when it just kind of checked in with characters we knew before, though. Like, I think
Yeah,
it
the stuff
works
with
well as the
Mutator, Psi-Force even. Yeah.
right.
Oh, here, oh, that's what's going on with them. Oh, cool.
Yeah, maybe a little too much Night Mask, but I guess that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I the the Potter one we said was a little weird because we couldn't see the point of it. Perhaps we will at some point, but the President Reagan one still mystifies me.
Yeah.
Were we supposed to like the Secret Service men
Yeah.
or Reagan himself? I
It
don't
was very
know.
cartoony too, but yeah.
That's true. It's oh, I re remembered what like something good about Starbrand. It gives me a lot of chance to do voices.
Oh, there you
I, for
go.
some There's like a variety of characters, and I can stick a funny voice on each one of them. But anyway, that works for me. Anyway, I don't
Yeah, I guess it's always about
know.
you. I see how it is.
Yeah, that's a it was Steven and the New Universe Comics podcast. I told you we should have gone with
That's
that.
a little too close to the cartoon even universe, but
So the Reagan is, I don't know. Whenever Reagan pops up in here, he was a very, he had a lot of like characteristics that are we're very recognizable. So yeah, it's always sort of funny to see his impact on 80s culture still at the time. Anyway. So yeah, backup stories for me, sort of I sort of enjoy them. I always sort of think I should it's a good place to practice your creative writing or something. Just try like some short 6-page stories. See what I could do with that. I don't know. And I think a couple of them at least were indeed like other editors or assistant editors or something. So maybe this was their chance to test out their writing chops or something.
And this person do comics. Only one way to find out.
Dave, we're gonna have to keep you in production. You're good with doing paste ups and editing, but man, that President Reagan backup story, we didn't understand what you were doing there at all.
You're fired.
You're right.
Is
So,
there anything, any
I
of
guess that
the, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna like move it on to like, so what? The books all had, options of extending the main stories, adding a short story, or throwing in stuff like the official handbook bit entries. And did you have a favorite of those?
Yes, but it was not on that list. It's maps. The best use of the extra pages is maps and diagrams. I always love those for some reason.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I would
Okay.
say like that, those are my favorite. I don't know why. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But like, in a comic book, like the frame's always on the character pretty much, right? So you don't usually get a lot of like big picture. What's the scenery, what's going on. It's always kind of like the character. So I always like the map stuff. I would say secondly, the handbook entries, because those are really helpful. And then yeah, then the I think this the short stories are brilliant. I think the backup stories is potentially the best idea. But they've been so random that like sometimes it really works and it's a nice little check-in or it moves the story along, but it's not a map. I like the maps.
Yeah. Once we grew the universe big enough that we had a lot of extra characters, I'm looking at you, DP7,
Right.
that
Thousands and thousands of extra characters.
doing short stories seemed like a great idea. That's probably my favorite as well. The although as you say, better an idea than execution a lot of times, but I do I just in general do enjoy the official handbook entries. The only thing being the it's like the DC Who's Who that like started before Crisis on Infinite Earths and then ended after it, and so you have sometimes characters like with their original and then sometimes their revised versions or something. These are all like the revised season 3 and 4 versions of the characters. So like we're not going to see Jenny's like Spitfire armor, sorry, Max armor as like a diagram of that because it seems kind of destroyed at the moment.
Also, no one knows how to draw its scale right, so.
It's true. I don't, the surprising to me, the longer main stories are almost always feel like overstuffed, or they did sort of overstay their welcome or something.
Yeah, that's that can very much be true, and it doesn't always work.
Yeah, short stories are like a really dying art form at this point. It's been, in the 70s, I think you would still have like backups and anthology titles and things, but at this point, yeah, it's a unusual thing to challenge to meet. Although I was thinking the other day that Marvel Comics Presents had started coming out by this point. which is I don't know, I'm gonna say 8 pages for each individual story in each issue.
Yeah,
I
probably
have to
not
look it
enough
up.
pages.
Yeah.
I never
So
really
you'd
liked
feel
anthology stuff, and so I always kind of stayed away from those.
I kind of wonder now if
Cool.
if I maybe we'll think about it and ask ourselves when we get closer to the end if you could continue the new universe, in a form, would an anthology title be like the, a form to do it? I don't know.
Yeah, it'd probably be
It
unsatisfying.
probably at least, yeah, if you had one title that had a normal length main story and then a backup story like this, you would at least be able to kind of check in, as you say, on different characters and stuff. So it wouldn't feel too much, you've boxed yourself in so much. But
Right.
anyway.
I think like a good comic though, or like a good storytelling mode would be like, you don't have to have it all at once, right? So maybe there's one main character or a group of characters in a storyline, and then like over the course of it, like issue five, they run into justice or something kind of thing. It doesn't have to be everybody all at once again, Could be a
That's true, yeah.
little more clever.
You want the it's like I don't know, in the mainline Marvel universe, is everyone an Avenger now? Or so like
It's
what's the Avenger title? Is it just everyone in the Marvel universe? I don't know.
just whatever they've rebooted it to at this point. But so what do you think? Best series, worst series? I think number one and number four are pretty easy picks. But maybe
Yeah,
we
for
can see
both
if
of
we
us,
differ on
we
the others.
let's see. I would say originally I liked Justice more than Psi-Force. And over the course of this season in particular, I really felt like their ranking in my personal estimation were that Psi-Force was pulling ahead and Justice was kind of falling behind. So at this point, I would say, yeah, I'll give Psi-Force the second place and bump Justice to a, close but still, concerning third spot.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm going to go the other way. Obviously, DP7 is the best, Starbrand is the worst. And I'm not sure that I have a great justification for it, but just my gut says of this group of comics in particular, I would put Justice edging out Psi-Force just a little bit, like but only if from this exact season kind of thing. If like taken from the reboot on, I might switch it, but I think they're pretty close. There's it's quibbling at this point.
Yeah, I
At
think
times,
we.
both of them, I'm like, oh, this is going great,
Yeah.
and then they swing the other way.
No.
Or, oh,
Yeah.
this is a really weak issue, and then, oh, okay, well, this kind of picked it up, and I'm more interested now. So, hopefully, they finish strong. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully.
But I think
Yeah, the.
the teasers for what's going to go on in Psi-Force definitely sounded the most interesting compared to like the rest of it. So.
Yeah, we. I think the next. Let's see. Yeah. That's. Let's see where we go next. I don't think that we get creative, well, at least not writer changes. So it'll still be, up to Peter David and Fabian Nicieza. Both so, doing solid work. I don't want to be like, yeah, the this is this book has gone completely terrible. I want to drop it. It's I think our two and threes are still both like definitely in the enjoyable range, and we're happy to read them. It's really only at number four that we became concerned, but anyway.
Yeah, I would recommend the first three to anybody. Star Brand, I'd say stop reading around 10.
Yeah, it's if yeah, you have to prepare yourself for what you're getting here in a way, I think. But yeah, we had started picking up a phrase they used in one of the editorials, Nukin or the Pits. And so I would say the top three are Nukin, bottom one is usually the Pits,
Right.
but
Thematically, that works also. So,
it does. So let's see, we had we started off, we were still kind of we had pit fallout and tie-ins. So I would say those first, that first maybe quarter, three issues, two or three issues, would have a lot of dealing with the pit. And then the next three or four would be dealing with the draft.
yeah, or really more, it more ended up just like everybody's kind of has to deal with the government now, right? Like, which
Yes.
group are you with? Which group has captured you? Which group has wronged you? That kind of thing. It's, everybody's dealing with either the CIA or the army or something. So
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
even more than just everybody being drafted, it's just like, all right, yeah, now the government knows you exist and it's gonna do something.
people are picking up, choosing sides in teams. It does, portend to some interesting developments as you have the possibility of conflict among various subgroups. We, you know, this, the universe has always seemed very US oriented to me. The sort of whatever, maybe more common in the 80s, you would have less of this sort of international team members or travel than you might have now, I guess. And so it always seems like it's very, what's going on in the US. Although a couple of the books do, like, there's a lot of Russian stuff going on with Psi-Force and,
Right.
but it's, I mean, even Canada barely got, not that much of a visit. So yeah, there's always sort of the focus is on what's going on here, and so the government here, and now it's sort of awareness of the paranormals and possible using this because the Cold War is still going on, and how that all ties in to the bigger picture, the world picture of, other governments with their own paranormals, and none of them know what's going on. And at least several of them are obviously dangerous and are obviously causing problems, like when we saw Rothschild in Afghanistan. So, all that
Yeah.
good, is good sort of through line. You get a you don't feel like you're in constant crisis mode or crossover event mode. But you do have opportunities for crossovers, and you have sort of different characters dealing with sort of similar events. This guy from this team gets drafted, that guy from that team gets drafted. Each of them respond in different ways. Yeah, I don't know. It's
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm assuming that the war is US and Russia, but maybe it won't be. It's possible that it's something different, but
It's yeah. Okay. So they also brought up a question of like, could you change the name to the Now Universe? I don't think they've ever come back to that question, but I was honest personally annoyed. I never did find my old notes about like alternative names for the new universe that I had come up with months ago. Stuff like, Neo Universe.
yeah, you can't change it though. I think we talked about it before, but it's like you got the brand recognition. I mean, I know they kind of wiped out the logo, but
It's yeah, as a brand, you've got to stick with it. I think you had suggested the White Universe for some reason I was shocked by, but no.
It just sounds right to me, I guess. White is right, you might say.
But I think one thing I noticed was it is not the paranormal universe, and
Right. Well, that
that
sounds like
was
ghosts.
yeah, that too. It's there has been a feel this season that we're getting, if people weren't a paranormal already, we're turning them into paranormals. And I hope we don't like get too far down that road. Just the genre diversity that when we started the new universe was part of its charm. So,
True.
having characters that aren't paranormal, but yeah, I like that. Let's see. So there weren't any annuals now that we're at the 2 year mark. Anything, do we feel we missed anything there?
No, it's fine.
Honestly, the first year annuals weren't that great, and so yeah, I yeah.
I think the best one was the one that just continued the story and could have been a regular issue in Psi-Force anyway. So, but yeah, I think that's probably a little bit related to sales kind of thing too. It's like if it's not lighting the world on fire, then there's no good reason to try and mess things up and make all these annuals, or maybe they were kind of using the prestige books in their place to a degree. So.
That's maybe a good point. The it's if you wanted to have annuals, they were also doing crossovers in the main universe. So like the Evolutionary War, we saw a bunch of ads for that. So all the annuals would be dealing with that. So yeah, in this universe, maybe if everyone's dealing with the war, why don't you just have the war miniseries? Yeah, actually, that makes a lot of sense. So let me see if they, well, as they say, sales were still struggling at this point, but I thought they had kind of plateaued from the very limited sort of, we got a spreadsheet from a, member on the Facebook fan page that he had extrapolated from some sources. The sales in this time period are still fairly, they haven't changed too much. They've had a little ups and downs, but they're still struggling, I guess, based on what we understand. Sales are 75,000 for the lowest. No, wait, sorry, we're down here. 72,000 for the lowest, which was Justice by his estimation. That last issue of Starbrand was the lowest one, including the ones before Byrne took over. They had stopped at around 110,000 and then shot right back up when John Byrne took over. But that was below 100,000 for the first time ever.
Yeah, it's definitely sort of an odd one, but yeah, it was interesting that the I think it's just got to be based on the perception that this is the important book of the new universe. So if I'm going to order some of those, I'm going to order a bunch of this and then some of the other side series,
I gotta say, the draft he estimates at 157,000, which is higher than any individual book.
Right.
So yeah, people were still, thinking, oh, this book has come out, and if you're at all interested in the new universe, you'll want this. So yeah, if they made that like a quarterly, production, maybe that would have been sort of taken over the top spot from the Star brand.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, it's been about 3 years. You think it's time to wrap this episode up?
Yeah, I think that is officially it
Sun has
for
set. Owls are
there's
out.
sun. I think it's coming back up again. Oh my God. That is it for our this week's episode and for our recap of New Universe Phase 4. We will try to stay on the release schedule for as long as we can, so we'll even try to avoid long skip weeks, or at least the ones that weren't on the original schedule. We will also be updating our intros and whatever extra stuff we throw in. So be prepared. This week, we will kick off season 5 with Psi-Force number 26.
Yeah, so Psi-Force 26, reporter Andrew Chaser has written a book that'll rip the lid off the government's plan to use paranormals. Interesting. But considering that Psi-Force may be dead and Andrew's been getting threats against his family, that sounds familiar. Can he bring himself to publish it? Hard copy, scripted by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Graham Nolan, and inked by Mike Witherby.
Hard copy a show back then? I don't
Yeah, I
even
think it
remember.
was, right?
Oh, okay. So you can always find us at website kickersinc.com, and you can always email us newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been, as always, the voice of New Universe, and we will see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
Nuke me with the new.